You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is human rights activist Ken O'Keefe. Ken, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure, David. Thank you.
Ken, is it okay if I refer to you by that name, Ken, or would you prefer something else?
Yeah, no, Ken is great.
Okay, great.
That's great.
Ken, I saw an article actually just yesterday. Israel offers compensation to Mavi Marmara flotilla raid victims. I want to get into that in some detail in a moment. Before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are, where you were born, and what you've done, and so on and so forth? Of course, there's a lot of listeners who are already familiar with you, but for the benefit of the listeners who are not.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, I'm American born and raised in California, middle class, white suburbia, you know, good, you know, childhood. Joined the Marine Corps at age 19, believing, you know, my nation is the greatest in the world, freedom and democracy and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I had a experience in the Marine Corps, some abuse of power that I confronted, and I was punished very heavily for speaking out, basically doing the honorable thing. And that really revolutionized the way I saw the Marine Corps. And ultimately, it challenged my ideas about America and the world itself. I commenced to a course of independent study. And I realized in my 20s, early 20s, that basically I'd been lied to and that the conclusions I had made had been very, very false. And ultimately, you know, that began a process of attempting to understand the world the best way I could. And, you know, also trying to, sound the alarm to the American people, but to the world in general that, hey, listen, we can't sustain this type of behavior. So ultimately, I'm somebody who wants to see a better world for everyone, everyone's children, you know, not just Americans, but all people. And I genuinely believe the only way to affect a better world is when it's better for all, not just one group.
You know, when I see you on videos and when I think about you, the first word that comes to my mind is, this guy's got courage. I mean, I would say something else, but trying to keep this PG. But really, you do things that most people who are involved in these type of affairs or interested in making things better could only dream of. I mean, you put yourself in harm's way pretty much, it seems like, on a regular basis. Would that be accurate or am I off base?
Well, I think, you know, I don't ever lose sight of perspective. I mean, compared to some, yes, what I do would be considered very risky and potentially very dangerous. And there's no question that I've been in situations where I have to say I feel very fortunate to have survived. However, there are plenty of people in this world who are facing much, much more dangerous and grave consequences for standing up against power than I have faced. So keeping things in perspective, I'm in no way going to claim to be one of the most courageous who walked the earth. I mean, there are people doing amazing, amazing things every day facing danger that most can hardly imagine.
And that's absolutely true. But like I said, you're an amazing guy, the things you do. One of the events that you were involved in was this, of course, the Mavi Marmara flotilla raid. That Mavi Marmara, I guess, was attempting to break the blockade of Gaza to bring much-needed supplies to the residents of that open-air concentration camp. Is that right?
Yeah, and you're right. It's really a concentration camp because ultimately, you know, when you say it's a prison, a lot of people refer to it as an open-air prison, but prison denotes criminality. Prison denotes you've been found guilty of a crime. The only crime that the people of Gaza have committed is being Palestinian. And for being Palestinian, every one of them is punished, and that ultimately is collective punishment. And I just don't know how any sane individual, no matter what kind of propaganda we've been fed, I just don't know how any sane individual could in any way endorse, support, or be complicit with collectively punishing in some very extreme ways children who are not responsible for the actions of the adults. And ultimately, even if we get into that, the adults themselves, for the most part, are not responsible for firing a rocket as if that was a legitimate excuse to punish an entire section of people. But ultimately, what's happening in Gaza is a crime against humanity. It is a crime that we're all complicit with to one degree or another in the West, in particular the United States. And ultimately, yeah, that's what we were trying to do. We wanted to see that ended, and we still want to see it ended.
Yeah, I have a vision about that. I think that if every person in the world that owns some kind of a boat would get into it and head toward Gaza, the blockade would pretty much be over.
Yeah, and I think you can apply that same type of thinking to virtually any subject. I mean, if enough people focus on any one subject and commit to it through action, then we will get a result immediately. Because at the end of the day, unless you're, I think, very, very naive about the way the world works, there is a tiny minority, many have referred to it now as the 1%, who effectively run the world. And the only way they can manage to do this effectively is by our complicity and our cooperation. If we don't cooperate in mass, then God help them. And God help them when more and more people, as they're doing right now, come to understand the truth. Because at the end of the day, these tyrants, the 1% as they're referred to, they need us in order to get away with what they're doing. When we stop cooperating, their jig is up.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for that day. I hope I'm alive to see it. Now, the Mavi Marmara took part in that Gaza flotilla raid, and that was, I guess, in May of 2010. Boy, it doesn't seem that long ago, but is that right? Was that almost three
That's
years
right,
ago?
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez, yeah. Time. There you go. You were on board that vessel. I don't want to get into, because you don't have the time, I'd love to, but we can do it another day. I don't want to get into what happened on that vessel at that time, but let's go right to this article about Israel offering compensation to the flotilla raid victims, where I think it was 9 Turkish citizens were brutally murdered by Israeli commandos. And they want to pay, I think, something like £4 million to a Jewish foundation in Turkey to distribute the money to the victims and their families. Can you give the listeners some insight into this, Ken?
Yeah. Well, the one thing to understand is that I have to admit I was taken in quite a bit by the Turkish government. But looking back on it now, retrospectively, I see that in truth, that this was just more of the charade. You know, all the world is a stage, as Shakespeare said. The Turks were appearing to be adversarial to the Israelis, and Erdogan, the prime minister of Turkey, was saying some very strong things. But if you actually look at the record, aside from fairly meaningless gestures such as, you know, removing diplomatic staff from each other's country and whatnot, trade actually doubled between 2010. It more than doubled between 2010 and now. So money talks. You know, you can say whatever you want, but as long as we continue to do business, hey, what does it really matter? So these are just simply hollow gestures for the most part on the Turkish government. Then we add to that so many other things that are happening, such as the Turks allowing unoffensive missile bases to be put on their land, in their lands, and what they're doing with Syria is rather disgusting, although that's another subject. Ultimately, this adversarial ploy it was nothing more than a ploy. So this deal that was effectively accepted by the prime minister of Turkey in the course of an apology, which was supposedly brokered by Obama and so on and so forth, it's a hollow gesture anyway. It's a pittance. The money that's being offered is an absolute pittance. It doesn't change anything in reality for the people of Gaza. They say they're going to do something, but hey, saying it and doing it are two different things. And ultimately, it's an insult to the family members who lost their loved ones, in my opinion, that any kind of apology would be accepted when, in fact, the goals of those who died on that ship, many of whom who were executed by the Israelis, ballistics proves several of the people, including the Turkish-American citizen, the 19-year-old Furkan Dogan. He was down on the ground, and I think he was hit twice. Face down, he was on the ground, and he got, I think, 3 more bullets to the back of the head at point-blank range. So to suggest that you could pay family money and make a hollow gesture in the form of an apology, and that would be sufficient, I don't know. Again, I don't know how any sane person would interpret that as being okay. They can say that they will end the blockade on civilian goods, is what they're saying, but nobody really believes the Israelis. If you do, you're a fool. I mean, they make all sorts of statements, but they rarely honor their word. It's almost an inherent quality of the Israeli power structure to lie about everything. You name it, unless it conveniently doesn't need to be lied about and somehow benefits them.
Is it the Israelis, or is it the Israeli Jews, or is it Jews? Can we separate Israel from the Jews?
Well, yeah, no, I think not, absolutely. And in fact, I think that Jew is more appropriate in terms of we have to first. It's ridiculous. I don't care. I've gotten way past the whole anti-Semitic smear and the threats and whatever. I'm of no interest in that. Those that can be intimidated, I can understand why they're intimidated, but it doesn't intimidate me at all. We need to talk straight. You know, at the end of the day, our failure will translate to no future at all for our children. In fact, it may very well translate to the end of the world as we know it. So enough with the political correctness. It's time to be straight with each other. I have no hatred towards any group of people, even the psychopaths that are running the world. I feel pity for these individuals, for what they do, for their lack of humanity. And I'm not one for vengeance. And I certainly don't blame any one group. If I did, I'd have to blame the American people, regardless of the amount of propaganda and all of the effort to brainwash them and make them as ignorant as they are or complicit as they are. At the end of the day, the only way that the powers that be can get away with this stuff, which is mostly being done through us, i.e. through the American military, the empire that we've created, the only way they can do this is if we're complicit. So we are responsible. But yes, in my opinion, when you speak about Israel, the Jewish state of Israel, that's their own term, you have to talk about the Jewish role in supporting the state of Israel, both in Israel and externally. And externally, you find that Israel has overwhelming support amongst Jewish people around the world, although there are many, many Jews who have been very outspoken about the policies of Israel and their opposition to it. For the most part, you won't find too many Jews that are against a, quote, Jewish state, and their belief in that is based on many other falsehoods, quite frankly. You know, the mythical Holocaust, as it's been told in the official version of history, is just about as realistic as the official version of 9/11. Any critical analysis of the reality of World War II and the so-called Holocaust makes clear that while many Jews did die, and some invariably were murdered, the official version is a fantasy, and many other people died, including 27 million Russians, and yet we don't have Holocaust memorials and all sorts of things for them, or Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and blah, blah, blah. We can go on and on and on. The bottom line is that the state of Israel, the Jewish state of Israel, enjoys overwhelming support from the Jewish community. And the problem that I have with Judaism is that the chosenness of it, the inherent chosenness of it, is a form of supremacism. And if you believe in Judaism to the degree that the Old Testament tells you that you are chosen as a Jew, i.e. the rest of us are not chosen, I have a problem with that. I mean, even if you're somewhat liberal, quote, liberal about it, I have a problem with that. But I also have a problem with the American people who came to believe that they are superior. No one would admit we think we're superior, but in real terms, that is the way American people have come to think of themselves, that we are superior, and therefore we are allowed to get away with things like invading and occupying and bombing. Vietnam being a perfect example, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, we've dropped more bombs than all of World War II. We killed probably 2 to 4 million people, and never even so much as offered an apology. But we think that we can get away with this sort of stuff because somehow we were trying to bring democracy and freedom and blah, blah, blah. This is ridiculous.
Right.
I'm opposed to supremacism in every form, but when you combine the Jewish supremacism that exists with the power that it enjoys, this is extremely problematic. It has nothing to do with being anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish per se. I'm anti-supremacism in every single form. And a Jew that can practice his religion without feeling that he is superior to others, I have no problem with that, although it doesn't really sit correctly or sit well with the Old Testament teachings, and certainly not the Talmud, which makes very clear that all the rest of us are basically cattle to be used. So this is my problem. And, you know, I know that's kind of a long answer to your question, but the Jewish state of Israel is self-professed. Until the Jewish people of the world make clear that this Jewish state does not represent them, then sadly, for their own sake, they're going to have to take responsibility for the actions of this Jewish state.
Very well said, and it's very clear that money can buy the politicians here very effectively in the United States and easily force them to just turn their heads a little bit away from all the blood and carnage that's created, especially when somebody says something like you say, you're anti-Semitic, and it's amazing how long they've been able to get away with this scam, but again, it all comes down to money, wouldn't you agree?
Well, I do. However, I'm not necessarily in agreement that money is inherently bad in itself. Money could be. They just had elections in Italy. This is a really beautiful thing. Probably very few people in America know about this, but the politician that won isn't really a politician. He's a comedian, but he's a reasonable, intelligent man, and he represents actually something that is in the interest of the people of Italy, and that is the platform of which he was elected was, one, default on the debt. We don't need to pay this debt. Who is the debt to? That's the big question. And when people figure that out, good luck to the banksters who basically have been trying to enforce this debt. So number one, default on the debt. Do in Iceland. That's a smart move. It worked very well for Iceland. It worked very well for Italy, America, and everywhere else. Default on the debt. Nationalize the banks. Start printing money that's debt-free, interest-free, and use that to develop your infrastructure. And ultimately, make sure that your house is clean and in order and everyone is not wanting for the basic necessities of life. This is all very possible. So money could be used in a very constructive way. But the way that it's being produced right now, i.e. it's in control of a very tiny group of private individuals, which happen to be, for the most part, Jewish families, the Rothschilds in particular, although I think the whole Jewish thing is really kind of food for the masses more than anything else. I think it's even darker and more sinister than the way the Talmudic Jewish ideals are presented. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is that money can be used in a constructive way. But I know this was kind of a long answer, again, going back to your original premise, in a better world, I think, like you perhaps, that we won't need money. We won't need it. In a transition, it could be very useful, but not as long as it's controlled by private individuals who are nothing more than tyrants and psychopaths.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Speaking about money, how do you fund your activities? Would it make sense for folks to go to your website, worldcitizen.uk.net?
Yeah, I tell you what, I mean, the number one way that I fund my my activities is keeping my expenses very low and ultimately doing my best to try and contribute in some constructive way to the process of affecting a better world. It doesn't pay well at all, and I don't have an interest in money per se, other than what I need to be able to reasonably take care of myself and my family. But yes, if somebody wants to help me out, they're more than welcome, of course, to go to my website and they can make a contribution there.
Ken O'Keefe, human rights activist, doing some great things out there. You got a fan right here that you're talking to that you didn't even know about. Like I said, I've been looking at what you do for the past couple of years, and I'm very, very impressed. I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to listeners, and thanks for doing what you do, Ken.
Well, thank you very much, my brother. You keep doing what you're doing, and I'll look forward to talking to you in the near future.